Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week.
Hi all, and welcome into the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host Charlotte, and this week we're going to be talking about lyric poems. These poems were originally sort of designed to be accompanied by music, I mean, hence the name. They're often shorter poems, where the speaker talks about personal feelings. So, we're going to be looking at poems today that discuss sort of personal feelings and expression. And I've picked two that I think are really interesting, so I'm not going to waffle on about it for too long, so let's just get into it. Our first poem is by Clive Staples Lewis. I was reading through this one and I was like, oh god, I wanna yap. I wanna talk about it. So I figure this is probably the best way to do so is to talk into the microphone on my laptop. Okay, so it's Clive Staples Lewis on Being Human. Angelic minds, they say, by simple intelligence, behold the forms of nature. They discern unerringly the archetypes, all the verities which mortals lack or indirectly learn. Transparent in primordial truth unvarying, pure earthness and right stonehood from the clear. High eminence are seen, unveiled, the seminal huge principles appear. The treeness of the tree they know the meaning of, arboreal life how from earth's salty lap, the solar beam uplifts it, all the holiness enacted by leaves fall and rising sap. But never an angel knows the knife-edge severance of sun from shadow where the trees begin. The blessed cool at every pore caressing us, an angel has no skin. They see the form of air, mortals breathing it, drink the whole summer down into the breast. The lavish pinks, the field now new mown, the ravishing. Sea smells the wood fire smoke that whispers rest. The tremor on the rippled pool of memory that from each smell in winding circles goes, the pleasure and the pang can angels measure it, an angel has no nose. The nourishing of life, how it flourishes, on death and why they utterly know, but not the hill-born earthy spring, the dark cold bilberries, the ripe peach from the southern wall still hot, full-bellied tankards, foamy tops, the delicate, half-lyric lamb, a new loaf's billowy curves, nor porridge, nor the tingling taste of oranges, an angel has no nerves. Far richer they, I know the senses' witchery, guard us like air from heavens too big to see. Imminent death to a man that barbed sublimity and dazzling edge of beauty unsheathed be. Yet there within this tiny charmed interior, this parlour of the brain their maker shares, with living men some secrets in a privacy forever ours, not theirs. The speaker is, like, describing something that they seem to see as inherently tied to being alive and perhaps even to humanity. Like, it's repetition of, like, the angels cannot do these things. They cannot... They have no skin, so they can't touch things. They have no nose, so they cannot smell things. They have no nerves, so they cannot feel things. Like, it's so interesting to make this point of these things that humanity can do because we were born onto the earth, we were born in the flesh, in the bodies that we live in. We can touch and we can see and we can smell and we can taste and we can enjoy the earth, we can breathe the air and take summer into our chests. And it's so interesting to think about, like, this division between humanity and the divinity talked about in the poem being that humanity has more of an effect or has more of an ability to interact with the world of around us and, like, to take it in and to make it part of us, whereas angels are often viewed as portrayed as something distant that has an effect over us but cannot really interact with the world otherwise. And it's so interesting for it to talk about this in this way where there is a privilege in humanity, and that privilege is our ability to take in the world and make it part of ourselves. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It's really fun. Oh, it's good. It's just good. All right, so this second poem is by Nikki Giovanni. I found this on a whim because I was looking for lyric poems for this episode. And I was intrigued by the title. I'm reading Kidnap Poem. I'm going to be talking about it. And I was like, why is this a lyric poem? Because obviously lyric poem is about feeling. And I was expecting to come into this poem and read a poem about being kidnapped or a perception of being kidnapped. Or a thing that makes you feel like being kidnapped. But the poem is about something. It's again like this poem maybe could have gone into the Ars Poetica episode about like poems about poetry and like writing poetry. I mean it would be tenuous, but like it's that sort of vibe. I'll just get into it and then like I'll talk about it after because I could waffle. So Kidnap Poem by Nikki Giovanni. Ever been kidnapped by a poet? If I were a poet, I'd kidnap you. Put you in my phrases and meter. You to Jones Beach, or maybe Coney Island, or maybe just to my house. Lyric you in lilacs, dash you in the rain. Blend into the beach to complement my sea. Play the lyre for you. Ode you with my love song. Anything to win you. Wrap you in the red, black, green. Show you off to mama. Yet if I were a poet, I'd kidnap you. So this one is a lot shorter than On Being Human, and it talks about something very different. Like, while On Being Human relishes in its humanity and it talks about, oh, this is what's, like, good about being human, it's talking about taking the human and putting it into poetry. Whereas On Being Human uses poetry to describe the human. But, like, it's this really playful image of writing about someone in poetry almost and describing that as kidnapping them, like you kidnap someone's image to make them into the subject of the poem. You take what they are and you make it into words, and you put them in a situation and you put them in a scenario, or maybe you just describe them when you write them into poetry. I think it's really fun and playful, and talking about wrapping them in these colours, but in actuality wrapping them in the words to describe them. Yeah, it's a really fun and playful and like easy way of understanding what it is to write poetry about someone. Yeah, there's so much I want to say at the back of my throat that I cannot articulate into why I have enjoyed this poem. It's good. It's good and fun and interesting. And I recommend reading it because there are a couple of words in there that's like spelt in a specific way and maybe not the one you'd expect. Like C, for example. Like it's talking about the beach, but C is spelled S-E-E, as in something you observe. I really recommend, like, cause I think seeing something, observing it for your own and reading it through your own brain, like putting it through your own personal filter, is a good way to consume poetry, not just listening to it. Not that listening to it's not great, because I actually love listening to people read poetry aloud, and seeing people read their own poetry is really cool. Yeah, anyway, I will stop waffling. Okay, so that brings us to the end. Thank you all for coming into the Poetry Tavern and listening to me talk about lyric poems. This one's fun. This one's been fun. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed doing the research for it. But for now, let's say goodbye to our lyric poems. Next week we're going to be moving on to personification. I know I've done anthropomorphism before, but I think this is something that's a little bit broader, and it talks about not just animals, but can also talk about, like, you know, the personification of nature or anything like that, and the personification of concepts as well. But we'll see what we actually end up with when I pull out and research poems for this episode. So yeah, let's have fun with it. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. Bye.